page 13, said, "I have Dr. Gubernick listed because one of my experts has scheduling conflicts and may not come to trial." We don't know what that conflict was, and we don't know what that expert, which one it is, and we never did find out. Is it a setback for them? No, it's not, because it's going to be the exact same opinions that the other expert would have proffered at the time of trial. There's no surprise. There's no prejudice. It's just another obstetrician gynecologist saying the same thing. Dr. Gubernick agrees with the testimony of my other obstetrician gynecologist, so it's just the same thing. No,
is it your contention that plaintiff's counsel was purposefully misleading the court with those statements?
Judge, I don't know what goes on in the mind of plaintiff's counsel. This is what was stated, and Judge Polk heard it, and Judge Polk is hearing, "I want to substitute my witnesses, but don't worry, it's going to be the same thing." I don't think there's any problem with a judge allowing that under those circumstances. Scheduling orders have to be flexible. But what happened next is inexcusable and it is prejudicial. Dr. Gubernick did not have the same opinions. In fact, he had none of the opinions of Dr. Schiffer and Bowman and had all new opinions.
So when you brought that to the attention of the trial court, what was the ruling and what was your motion?
Our motion was exclude this. This was on August 10th that we found this out. We went into the court on August 25th and said, please, Judge, strike this. This is new. And by the way, this was a dynamic set of opinions. Dr. Gubernick kept changing right up till the time of trial. Remember, we're 6 weeks out from a trial. We got his testimony typed up on the day we made opening statements. He has all kinds of new opinions. But it's the educational materials and this theory of laboring down should have been done in this case. This is all new. No need to do a C-section. Totally different. On the trail, there was testimony about that.
Did you ask for a continuance in order to investigate and respond to the new opinions? And does it matter?
It doesn't matter. And we did. There is a request for a continuance in there. But
when?
At a couple of different times, Judge, and I don't want to mislead you, but when it comes to this, we didn't want, what's the point of continuing in this and then working up a whole new case and then do the same thing? You know, in the case that we've been before the court in Norquay, this court said, you didn't ask for a continuous, but you didn't object and you didn't ask for a mistrial, and we did both of those secondary things. We should not have to be put in a position because of their violating scheduling orders to continue this thing indefinitely. I think it's error for Judge Polk to allow this testimony. That's our position. Now, Your Honor, when Dr. Gubernick did get on the witness stand, Mr. Patrick Cullen stood up in court and offered 6,000 pages of educational materials, which was received into evidence with no foundation. At that point, Dr. Gubernick discussed some of these 6,000 pages and concentrated on other things with a medical article, Common Areas of Litigation, that you'll find at page 3,030. This was objected to in front of the jury, and may I say, if you look at the record here, constant objections were made by us in front of the jury that made us look so bad in front of the court. Or in front of that jury. They did not like us because we were trying to stand up for what we thought was right. Now, in the minute and 23 seconds I have left, I'll ask you to consider that is a reversible error right there to allow those materials.
How do those materials impact the case?
How did they impact it? Dr. Gubernick twisted around, and this is one of our other points, what the standard of care is and turn it into a, these materials stand for the proposition that you have to keep the patient safe, that there are rules that you have to follow. And I'm going to ask this court, when this is all over with, to reverse this and speak to the testimony about rules and safety. That bastardizes what the standard of care is. It totally changes what the law is. But it's a theory called the reptile theory, which has been effective if results are what count and not fairness. And we shouldn't let that happen. Just consider, I got 20 seconds left. There were new photographs changed on the second day of trial that the plaintiffs had introduced and then offered brand new ones. There was lay hearsay all over that we tried to motion and eliminate out was allowed to come in. There was the limitation of treating doctors. We wanted to ask the treating doctors, what is the problem here? They treated him. Weren't allowed to do it, up to a little degree, but not totally. And at the final thing, Mr. Patrick Cullen said, due to our training, we understand what these forceps can do to a child. And then Mr. Joseph Cullen said, I am a doctor, and there is a specific motion in limine to prohibit this. At the very end of the case, they're testifying about this. It shouldn't stand. We're going to ask for you for a reversal. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you very much. Mr. Cullen, good morning to you.
I'll be Mr. Vail, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. I'm sorry, Mr. Vail. Good morning to you.
And good morning to the court, and thank you for allowing me to appear here. Let me focus you on the August 25th hearing that you just heard about. At the hearing, there were cross motions for late designations of expert witnesses. The defense had done the same thing. The judge granted both of them. The trial judge was very careful in ascertaining from counsel what they thought about the possibility of delay or a mistrial. The judge says, this is page 89 of the record, the judge, delay, do we want to go forward entertaining the possibility of continuance? What do we need to keep on track? The judge. The defense counsel, what do we need to go forward? Nothing. Defense counsel, we're on track. The judge, at page 95 a little later, if we're going to go forward on October 11th, again, entertaining the possibility of delay if delay were needed, nothing, no requests for anything from defense counsel. Defense counsel had scheduled Dr. Gopernik for a deposition the day before the August 25th hearing.
But counsel, at the time of that August 25th hearing, defense counsel didn't know what Dr. Gopernik's real opinions were going to be, did he?
It was represented to him that they would be the same. And, Your Honor, we contend that they are. They are about the effects of a forceps delivery. Now, one thing that Dr. Gopernik relied more extensively on what are called the educational materials here.
Did any other expert rely on the educational materials before Dr. Gopernik?
Well, most of the plaintiff's experts that were deposed by the defense were deposed before the educational materials were received. The educational materials were fought about for a year. They were objected to. There was a motion to compel. There was a grant. There was the defense motion to reconsider. And there was another order ordering them admitted. And that order goes to the question of the foundation for them. Because in that order, they are compelled to release the materials that they use in training their nurses and midwives. And as the judge remarks earlier on in that hearing, just page 76 of the transcript, they're talking about these educational materials, and the judge says, look, we've been fighting about these things for 3 years. Everybody here knows what they are. These were not new materials at this point. They fought very hard to keep them out.
What is it that Gopernik said that was new?
I don't believe he rendered opinions that were new. He rendered opinions that the child was injured during this forceps delivery, which was unnecessary. That's the ultimate opinion.
But everybody knows that. What did he add to your case?
What he did was he talked extensively about these materials, right, which are the materials that they use to train their people, and he showed how they were not complying with their own training.
Which is a different statement than standard of care.
Well, it's evidence of what standard of care is.
Was it fact evidence or expert evidence at that point?
Well, I think it's an expert interpreting facts. It's, you know, opinion related that they, he says, this is what you say you will do. This is what you did. Those things are not the same. So I don't know how you want to characterize that.
Would you call that a standard of care opinion?
I would call that evidence that goes to the question of whether the standard of care was violated. And the jury was instructed on the statutory standard of care. That is ultimately what the jury made a decision on in this case.
Was the jury also instructed on all four elements of negligence under Nebraska law?
I believe so, Your Honor, but I cannot say for certain. There were agreed standard jury instructions. I can't recall the instruction on negligence.
Was the jury instruction conference part of the record?
I believe so, Your Honor.
And then in the verdict forms, were the jurors asked to allocate negligence as between the two defendants?
I did not believe they were. They were given a look to Mr. Cullen.
Is that plain error?
No, I don't believe so, Your Honor.
Have we said it is?
I cannot respond to the question of what the jury instruction on each individual defendant. I think the defendants were in large part treated as agents of each other.
Mr. Vail, what is your understanding of the status of the concept of cumulative error in civil cases?
Well, you have talked about it. You have not directly imported it from your civil cases, but I think it's not a stretch. You've talked about, you said that you have to get a fair trial. That's the standard. And the standard has two components. That there are clearly untenable rulings unfairly depriving someone of a substantial right. And two components, that they deny just results. This case was tried hard, was tried by competent counsel. They fought like mad for years. Anything that happened here does not meet that standard. Trials are like humans. We invest much in them. They remain imperfect, and we don't dispose of them readily. This was a fair trial. Now, I told Mr. Settle's asked me to reserve 3 minutes for him. I'm almost there, so if I can take 30 more seconds to just say a couple of points about our cross appeal, which I say the most narrow ground here on the cross appeal is that the defendants admit that their purported insurance policy creates no obligations to the Cuencas in violation of the statute. Physicians Health Clinic has affirmatively been shown not to be a licensed healthcare provider.
Excuse me.
The Cuencas were not patients under the act. I would say that no estoppel lies. I would say we have briefed that the burden of proof is on their side. And I would suggest as a practical matter for going forward that you could look at the insurance department saying, well, you can pay on a surcharge as being prima facie evidence of certification that someone challenging it would want to rebut, but it can't be an estoppel situation. It's just the elements are not there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Mr. Settles.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Good morning to you. Do we have
Looks like a minute 22.
A minute 20, it's all yours.
All right, thank you, Your Honor. My name's Bill Settles. I'm here on behalf of the intervenor state of Nebraska. We intervened in this case for the purpose of defending the constitutionality of the damages cap in the statute that has been challenged in this case. As I pointed out in our brief, the precise nature of the challenge in this case is not really clear. It appears to be a due process challenge, and in more narrowly, a substantive due process challenge. Most of the questions that that challenge raises have already been answered. This court determined in the Gourley case that the cap in this statute is rationally related to a legitimate state purpose. That satisfies the test for a substantive due process challenge. The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals just last year determined, in deciding a substantive due process challenge to the cap, that the cap does not violate the statute.
Is it applying?
I'm sorry, the substantive due.
Federal constitutional law or Nebraska constitutional?
It applied federal constitutional law. In the substantive due process context, this court has stated that the two rights in varying contexts are congruent. They haven't said that as a rule, they're the same. Obviously, this court is free to interpret the right as providing more protection than what the federal right provides, but up to this point have not done so. In the context of parental rights and privacy rights, they've said the two are congruent, and we would argue that there's no reason to depart from that here. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Yes, Mr. Showmaker, good morning again.
I have a minute 36, and it's just perfect amount of time to ask you this. Please reverse this case. You've spoken to us before and said scheduling orders have to mean something. Let this case be a poster child for what you're not supposed to do. When we review this record, we need some strong language from you that this is an abuse of discretion by the court, and let's not go down this road again.
Counsel, in doing the math to apply the damages cap, did the court do the math correctly?
Yes.
Under 442825?
Yes, Your Honor. Yes. 1,750,000 for the child. 500,000 was given to Mrs. Cuenca, and then a bunch of other things, but that's really subsumed into what went to the child's care, so she gets 500, and then there was a specific award for 250 to Mr. Cuenca. 2,250,000.
In a case where a jury awards both economic and non-economic damages, is there an order of operations, if you will, in applying the cap to the jury verdict?
It's a hard cap. It's 1,750,000. Now it's 2,250,000. That's it, you know, no matter what it is. That's all you can get. And the legislature determined that, and this court has found that to be constitutional two times. In 22 seconds, please say something about rules and safety. We run into this all the time. It's not the standard of care. It's being perverting our trials. And lastly, tell us that treating doctors can say, what I did is this, and here's what I did, and here's what I thought. That's fact testimony. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you very much.